Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Heir Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
Say by the Holy Ghost. Well, this is very practical. People need to know how does the Bible help people. This helps people in any nation, anywhere in the world. You want something to change, go to the root of it. You go to the root, you'll find the devil is there. Y'all remember I was telling you about the spirits connected with all these Confederate flags, and statues? Those spirits are not people. That's the devil. That demonic thing. They're supported by words and thoughts that represent hatred of a particular group of people that look one way against another group of people that look another way. Now, what gets strange is when all the people start looking alike. But those statements are the general so-and-so, what he believed, and all of his words, those words are spirit. Those spirits get into people, and they conduct themselves according to that. That's why you get rid of them. That's why God told, what was the guy's name, to tell all these idols down your daddy built? Gideon. We told Gideon, he said, listen, tell all of us, get rid of all that. Get rid of all the signs and symbols of stuff that represent devils and demons and things contrary to the word of God. Get it out your house, out your city, out your neighborhood, out your mind, out your heart, and out of your mouth. Get rid of it. It's of the devil, and he's real. He has no power and authority except what you give him. If you give his word, if you give your word to him, he has authority where you gave it to him. If you don't give it to him, he don't have it. He can't hate through you unless you speak the hate out of your mouth. These are laws. These are spiritual laws. These are not black laws. They're not white laws. They're not Mexican laws. They are spiritual laws, and the devil knows it. My God. Stop being used. Glory to God. Anyway, so here, as we use the wisdom of God, this is the advantage we have as the body of Christ. We can go to the root of it. I said, we can go to the root. And God was getting ready to use Gideon. He said, I'm going to use you. We're going to get rid of all these enemies, but there's a couple of things I need you to do. Let's tear all these idols down. Get rid of the idols. What are your idols? Get rid of the idols. Get them out your house. Get them out your heart. Get them out of your mouth. Amen? Amen. There's some people out there. You got some other people as your idol. Get rid of them. You don't have no business worshiping people. You worship the Lord. Let me go. I don't have 10 more minutes. Amen. Did we do the Bible confession? Over in John 1. Well, why did you take all the time going on over there, Pastor? Because the Spirit of the Lord had led me over there. Darlene was singing them songs that they sung, and that led me right over there. God bless you. Amen. And let's go. I'm going to go kind of fast, okay? In John 21, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana, and Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. They caught what? Nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not. Somebody say, knew not. Okay, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Now look up. Here's what's happening. Jesus, this period, he's raised from the dead. He's come back. Okay, holds in his hand. He's showing himself to the disciples. Now the Bible, the scriptures reveal that the things that Jesus said and did in these 40 days are not listed here and can't be contained. Okay, but that selective interaction. Say that with me. Say selective interaction. One more time. Say selective interaction. Okay, what the Bible is revealing, now see, whenever you look at the Bible, you're looking at selective revelation. You're looking at the part that God decided he wanted us to know and see. And the part that he didn't reveal for us to know and see, he told you it's not in here, but it's more of this kind of stuff that he did. He references it. That makes any sense to you? He's referenced. He said, this isn't everything. It's more, but here, this is selective interaction, and use the term selective revelation, but this is selective interaction of Jesus appearing. So when Jesus appearing to the disciples. Now, where we're going with this quickly in the time we have, Jesus is, as he's appearing, it will reveal what he said to them, what they said to him. But quickly, because I'm going to jump over to Acts, where we get down to, because see now, Jesus had done a certain part of what Jesus had to do, which is he died on the cross, raised, shed his blood. The New Testament has started. He shed his blood already. So now, what has to happen, he's preparing them for the New Testament launch. The New Testament launch. See, it's already started, but he's going to launch it. See, usually when you have a new business, and you have to launch the grand opening, well, the business already started before the grand opening. The grand opening is for y'all to come see it, buy the hot dogs, whatever y'all going to get. This is the big part of like, okay, y'all, here it is, and here's how we're going to be operating, just like we said. So the launch, he's getting them ready for the launch. I never heard that preach like that. Just getting them ready for the launch. So, but prior to the launch, there are some things that he's getting clear with them. Because remember, they were in a certain state of mind, and they were the word of God said they were astonished. Their mindset had to be changed because they were afraid. And Jesus showed back, or he came back, and he found them to let them know, okay, y'all rejected me, you lied, you talked about me, you turned on me, but that's okay. You know, God knows everything. And so when Jesus called them out, you know, Peter, I'd never leave you. He said, yeah, Peter, you go. Judas, yeah, you have sold me out, Judas. So here, the Bible reveals this, but let's go give you some Bible verses. So it says, then Jesus saith unto them, all right, verse number four. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye no meat? They answered, no. He said unto them, cast your net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Say that with me. Say, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. Now when Peter Simon heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. Is that the way your Bible says? For he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, but they were not far from land. But as it were, 200 cubits, dragging the nets of the fishes. So they had a whole lot of fish. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring up the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time. Read this with me aloud. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Okay, now look up. Okay, so this is far as I'm going to go on this. This is the third time. So what Jesus is doing, he's appearing and disappearing. He's showing up and he's leaving. And then he'll show up again. And each time, he's addressing the disciples. See, when he goes away, they're talking, and then Jesus is doing things, and because it showed Jesus was telling them who he was down through history in one of the first encounters. Are you with me? Remember, we came to Thomas. Thomas said, you know, I won't believe unless I touch the nail prints in his hand, et cetera, et cetera. And then he shows up with Thomas. Thomas, thou believe because thou hast seen. Blessed are those who believe and have not what? Seen. Okay, now, we're familiar with these particular verses where Jesus is appearing, but you want to get the big picture, because this is a selective interaction. So when Jesus interacts, he's saying something different each time. You know, not contrary different, it's something different in addition to what he's already said. Are you with me? All right, now let's go. So you want to get this, because this aspect of Jesus' ministry, what he's doing, Jesus is preparing them now for the launching of the New Testament church, which is Pentecost. He's preparing them for Pentecost. They have a role. Now, hold it. Look up. Now, what happened? When Jesus died and went to the cross, they didn't have no role. They didn't. What role did they have? They could believe or not believe. Jesus went to the cross. It's like, nobody can do this but me. And I'm going to do it. And he went to the cross and did it. And they hid and were afraid and turned their back on them. They didn't have a role. See, but they had information. See, right now, you may not. Right now, you may not have the information to know your role. See, you have a role, you just don't have the information. The devil don't want you to get the information. But you have a role. See, these guys, you see here, these are disciples with Jesus. They're with him. They Jews. He's sent to the Jews. So, they have a role, but they don't have the information. So, their role is so crucial. It's based upon them fully knowing and understanding who Jesus is. And so is yours. When you have a revelation of Jesus, you'll do some stuff you ain't doing now. There's some things you don't do, some things you don't say, because you don't really know him. You have authority over the devil. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, he's been defeated. It's some things that's within your grasp as a man or woman of God to do. You're not doing because you don't have the information. So without the information, you heard your role, but you don't believe it. See, Jesus did things in front of these guys and then turned around and told them, greater works than these shall you do in my name. Because I go to the Father. Yeah, but you haven't been yet. You haven't gone to the Father yet. Therefore, they don't really know what this is going to do to them. They have no idea of what his going to the Father is going to do to them. And what it's going to do to the knowledge and information that they have, because they are eyewitnesses to the miraculous. What? They what? They are eyewitness to the miraculous. They saw Jesus do things. When you look at the gospel and you hear what things that Jesus did in front of these guys that they saw him do, they was with him throughout the whole deal. And all they could still think about was economic and political position. You're dealing with the miracle worker thinking about your light bill. That ain't no miracle. Are you following me? God wants you to think bigger. Amen. The faith that you have will do more. And the key is knowing how to release it and get it in the Word. But let's go quickly for the sake of going quickly. So, in any case, right there where it says Jesus coming to take the bread and fish, and he said, now this is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead, okay? So when they had died, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lamb. Then he went further. Now, so go down to verse 19. The word of God says, thus spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Jesus turned about, seeing the disciples whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the disciples that the disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciples which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things, read this with me, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Now, okay, look up. Okay, let's wrap this up. I may only do two wrap it ups today. When you look at Acts, what is occurring? Say this with me, say selective interaction. Now, when you go back and you see this interaction with the disciples, you must keep in mind that when Pentecost takes place, at Pentecost, Jesus gone. He's gone. So they're having to go here again at Pentecost. Pentecost is going to come with them there. Jesus said, I must go that the Comforter must come. So there's a and here John's not giving all the details. I'm going to go to another one of the Gospels and share that part. But I want you to look at Acts, where it says, this first chapter of Acts, it says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Both to do what? To do and teach. Until the day in which he was what? Taken up. Till the day in which he was what? Taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had what? Chosen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them when 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. This is in red writing in your Bible, right? Okay. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now the subject, here again, this is, okay, the 40 days are mentioned again when Jesus was on the earth. Scriptures mention he'd done a lot of things that couldn't all be contained. But I want you, what we have to do is to put ourselves in the position of the disciples, but they were with them. They normal people. They Jews, but they normal people. Okay, all they knew the history, but they didn't know it. All right. So here it says, "You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now here again, see this reference of John's baptism. Amen. And then he said, "You shall be baptized." Now, he's telling the disciples this. Jesus in red writing. The word says, when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Question mark. Is that it? All right, look up. Come on, I'm about through. Listen. Okay. They asked the question, wilt thou at this time, since you didn't do it month before last. Okay. Are you ready now? Since you didn't do it over here before they killed you, prior to the fourth. See, he didn't do it. See, it's still in there thinking, oh, I know what it is. Oh, he's going to do it, but he had to die first in order for him to do it. So they're asking the same question. They're still stuck that this thing is for us, for Israel. Is that will you at this time? Now, it's not will he, is will you at this time. They always believe he had the goods to do what they wanted done. It's just a matter of when is he going to do it? Since you didn't do it then, you died and raised from the dead. Oh, we know what it is. You needed to die and be raised from the dead in order to do it. Now you're ready to put us in position politically and economically as a people, Israel. Isn't that what it's asking? Isn't that what it's saying? It's asking, are you ready to put Israel back? See, this still selfish. Even though it's selfish for them, God using them. God used them because, see, they're descendants of all of the apostles and everybody with the Old Testament. And so when you look at it, the thing to get it is that this isn't for Jews, this is for everybody. Salvation, when you look at salvation, and it's over here in the New Testament. Come on, somebody, say go and finish, Pastor. Y'all got to help me here because I'm pressing the finish. What you have to get is the Jews like salvation for everybody, Gentiles too? Yes. Gentiles, we figure the Jews in on something we don't have. No. No. Jesus, because of Jesus, God has made salvation available to whosoever will. But don't they have an advantage? No, they don't have no advantage. There's no advantage. The playing field has been leveled. You know, there's certain things you say that people relate to. The playing field has been leveled. You know a lot of Old Testament history ought to help you, but what's necessary is what Jesus, when you know what Jesus did, he leveled the playing field. God, through Jesus, leveled the playing field. It isn't about what the Jews get now. Did you say that, Pastor? Yes, I did. It's about whosoever will. Anybody, you can get born again, based on the name of Jesus. But let me go further. You can chew on that in your own study. So it said in Acts, still said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall baptize with the Holy Ghost. But when they therefore come together, they ask of him. Now, he just told them about John's baptism, didn't he? But he talking to them. Why would they think about somebody other than themselves? Because he's talking to them. They think, hey, yeah, this is like for us, for the Jews. No. And so when this scripture, when it's referenced, when they go out ministering and you see salvation, you see Paul and all the different Gentiles ministering the gospel, getting healed, casting out devils, speaking in tongues, interpretation. Are you with me? That's why Muslims know they can be born again. Hindus can be born again. Mormons can be born again. Jesus, that blood of Jesus, amen, there's none like it. All right, so the word says, wilt thou at this time restore? Underline the word restore. I'll just stop right here. Restore again. Restore again. Again, restore. What is that referencing? That means that was a time when we was in power and we looking to get back in power again, and the term restore again is used because they have a frame of reference to when at one time they were in power, the Jews were in power. Y'all not in power no more. And Jesus didn't come to restore y'all power. He died for the sins of the world. Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Question mark. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. He didn't answer their question.
Now, okay, I'm gonna have to close. We'll pick up here. We still got some
Pentecost time. Am I helping anybody? Because I'm connecting some maybe Bible history, Bible facts. I'm connecting it to you. So your picture of who you are and being filled with the Holy Ghost and what Pentecost is, you have a picture. You don't have to be begging nobody pardon over this thing. This is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. This is the Lord's doing. Yes, it is. So the word says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. But let me go back. Let me go back to that other verse. Jesus talking again. Because Jesus didn't answer the question, because what occurs is when Pentecost occurs, you're going to see in the book of Acts where this salvation being made available to everybody is brought about in a different way. You're going to see where the Gentiles receiving, getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. But see, they're asking the question right now. They're asking the question before Pentecost. Man, what you talking about, Reverend? What? They're asking the question before Pentecost, before the Holy Ghost has come onto the earth in his earthly ministry. He hadn't come yet. But he told them they'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with power. He's telling them. Now, what he's doing, he's telling them for the launching. See, the launching is where you're going to see all the stuff. He doesn't need to give them a greater description of the launching, because the launching pack will punch all of its own. And when we got to the launching, when we shared the revelation, Pentecost, and we come and we say, you heard Pentecost, but you didn't get a good picture of Pentecost. Tongues and interpretation. So when they all spoke in tongues and interpreted. No, they didn't. That's not what the Bible said. It didn't say that. There was a miracle. There were miracles that took place at Pentecost that unless you slow down and look at it, you won't realize what's happening in this launching. Are you following me? And the disciples, they were limited, but when the launching of the Holy Ghost occurred, the Holy Ghost, he manifests some things in tongues, interpretation, word of wisdom, that yet is, and I'll go into it next time, because it takes a whole message to do it. We've covered it every year. What took place with them, because the people, there's a feast day. That was a feast day where all these people had come. They had come from all around.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org.